Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Francine, welcome to the Night Sky Sangha. Nobody gets what they want, but they don't mind anyway.
Chocolate is a consolation for them. They're so used to that, yeah. They don't know the difference. So. I just saved the coconut
ones. Okay. Oh, coconut. I wonder.
It's over. It's sad.
I didn't even realize. I bought things the other day. I thought there was only one kind.
Oh, okay. Oh. Oh. You know, it's not even you showing up naked, Jeff. It's if anybody really wants to. There's like a letting go of the things that you use to keep yourself covered up. It's part of this process. To use the nudity analogy.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared to go, like, kind of let the breeze come in a little bit,
you're
not going to ever see anything much other than objects.
Yeah. Consciousness is kind of upskirt. whether you're wearing kilts or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are so many different ways that you clothe yourself. And they're like shapeshifters, you know. You, it's like whack-a-mole if you're really trying to like kind of get rid of them.
Yeah.
And in the end, what is what it is.
When the prey is smarter than the hunter, you remain the same.
Well, the thing is, they're like, the hunter isn't particularly assertive in this case. The hunter's just up in the tree stand watching. That's it. It's so quiet. It's not assertive. It's not going to reach out and grab you. It's not like that. It just watches. You just spin out of control looking for clothing. Making sure you're covered up. They end up kind of belly up. You realize nothing's really covering up.
Well, you have to start out being somehow really excited about yourself. Either to whip up, a good suffering story, or some kind of spiritual progress story. So we are, driven by a semi-conscious need for. Ongoing validation and or the interest of let's say avoiding one's thoughts, one's consciousness, one's experience. So there's this basics kind of schizophrenia. One is the valid pursuit of validation, a more extroverted kind of motivation, and the other is avoidance from pain or discomfort, and we can't reconcile the two. Sometimes the thrill of validation is more compelling, makes more sense, you know, driving the car. And at other times, the avoidant wish or the ameliorative agenda is driving the car. And one way that we avoid or ameliorate discomfort is to vet or pursue validation. So we just remain in that loop, you know, and you can't really, it would be hard to go chicken or egg on that thing. I mean, what's your primary motive once you realize, you know, you are enjoying some kind of individuation, right? Are you, right, driven by the interest in continuity and validation, or are you driven by the hopes of ameliorating or avoiding discomfort or existential malaise or disorientation? Is, you know, where do you begin? Which one is, well, right, all of the above, right? And without one being in any kind of having a, let's say, a chronological, you know, primacy.
Simultaneously, just plop them all in.
Yeah, just throw it all in the mix, yeah. A little apple cider vinegar and just newt, eye of newt, leg of toad, just stir that shit around. Yeah. Good evening.
Speaking of eye of newt.
Speaking of eye of newt, here he comes. Eye of newt. So if you don't get started, if you don't get started on yourself or with yourself, then those two you know, motivators can become, let's just say, very, you know, quiet or quiescent or non-compelling. But once you're interested in yourself, and how do you avoid that? I mean, you know, you're interested in yourself because, well, in a way, this rocks, you know. This, whoa, alive? You got to be kidding me. This is fantastic. I am fantastic. Really, sensation is fantastic, and the body is fantastic, and having an appetite that can actually be, you know, responded to with food is fantastic. You know, it's like, oh, this is fantastic. God, this is just a, you know, a consumptive paradise.
Till it turns on you, you start to feel like crap.
Well, maybe fantastic doesn't always mean great.
Yeah, you know, it's still fantastic, yeah. Even when it feels like it's going south on you. So what, you know, what is it that, what drives us for somatic or spiritual homeostasis? Or the optimization, the ongoing impulse of the optimization of the, you know, call it the interpretive myth of experience. And all of these curious, you know, forms of optimizing the apparent myth of present experience are driven by, you know, how many conscious, unconscious, semi-conscious, submicrobial, right, impulses. Demands. Like, by the time you're aware of a demand, you know, you sense a demand that's placed upon your consciousness or your body or your, you know, reputation at a very, call it, superficial level. Or you could say at an aggregate level, by the time you're aware of something that is demanding your attention or intervention or resolution or avoidance or attention seeking, by the time you're aware of it, you're late. You're kind of always late to the party. And then we don't really know how to interpret the profound impulses that are just writhing within us 24/7. I mean, literally, you know, writhing, splurging, radiantly appearing, tickling, attracting one's attention, whether in the waking state or the so-called sleeping state or the deep, what, who cares? You're just writhing with, you know, the beauty of desire, the beauty of creation, the miraculous field of sensitivity. Wow, fantastic, incredible. And we clutter it up, of course, with, you know, call it the rules and regulations of conformist reality. The explanations given as to why, you know, you're better off staying in Bucks County as a wage earner than jumping on a freighter to Timbuk fucking two and starting a brand new life that may just as well kill you as be successful. You know.
It plays out in weird ways. I mean, certainly avoidance mechanisms. And you can't even be clear about what the avoidance is from, you know.
No, you can't.
But avoidance mechanisms, I do feel like that's, as accurate as any other way to express it, in my case at least, is going on a lot, you know, and especially in the last, you know, since the last political season.
Right. You're not alone there.
I mean,
tremendous. There's tremendous anxiety.
My anxiety level is up at least 50% or more.
Okay. Tremendous anxiety triggered by, political uncertainty and the hegemony of authority figures that don't have progressive democratic values at heart.
Well, and just the time spent, instead of being a little chill, maybe, or thinking about more esoteric things, is like driven down to lies and.
Yeah.
Your mind has found something to latch onto.
Yeah,
and I think as we get further down this path, it's more and more important to have something to latch onto to get obsessed with and keep us here. And it's the bait and switch shit. And for me, it's always had the name Dave. For you, it has the name Trump. For, you know, other people, it has the name mother or sister or job or money. Or we always have something.
The promise of a picture window looking out on the Delaware River.
That's it. We need it. It's nothing more than just another article of fucking clothing. You are sitting here naked and you're desperate for clothing, so you're getting obsessed with Trump.
Yeah. There you go. Diagnosis, bada boom.
Sorry, I couldn't do this. Yeah. Because I watch what I do. It's how I run from this.
But there's no even keel to it. I mean, it's...
Mine isn't interested in
you. You know, it's just been crazy.
You'll kick your ass.
Glomming on to stupid shit. And
that's it.
I think I've said this before, even things like, you know, mundane games, like playing solitaire. I haven't played solitaire since I was 12. All of a sudden, it's like, let me just kind of play some solitaire. And it's like, solitaire, and then freestyle,
Yeah.
Mindless pursuit, yes.
I mean, it's just like,
by all means, don't slow down and just get spacious.
I can feel the drug having an impact when I do that.
There you go.
It's just like,
loving the drug.
Relief from your own mind.
From playing fucking freestyle.
Better than Trump. Feels better, at least.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, but I always have something to say, and that's a drug, too, you know? Got to repost something and expound on something. You know.
How'd you get hot water? Well, there might be, there's some more in that little coffee, like around coffee, just as water.
Oh, it's water.
I don't know how hot it is.
Does it smell like coffee? I see steam, be careful.
No, it's not really.
Cool.
No, I'll be really
careful.
That just
comes out as water before it hits the beans, right?
Yeah.
The packets or whatever they are. I didn't mean to bring us down.
No, you're very interesting.
Yeah. I think Jamie.
It's right on tomorrow.
For reflection.
Yeah.
I have Newt.
With how you run. I have Newt. It's just I have Newt is, huh? Now we know.
I.
Of course, it's not actually an I have a Newt.
You know, you can. Anyone can talk a big so-called enlightenment game. Whether, you know, call it actual transmutation of consciousness or, you know, a successful poser. They're the same. I mean, really, they're the same, you know. Everything is forgiven, so, you know, pose on. What?
I'm going to try and experiment. Sit in the...
You're not going to try the rocking horse?
Sure you don't want to try the rocking horse or the plastic turtle?
Right, rocking horse is good for your hips. It's really nice.
Okay, it's worth it.
But you have to be a midget. We are easily distracted. Put that in there.
Probably is. That's, you should, that's not good.
Squirrel!
Oh, boy.
It's a shamanic circle now. Get that rattle out.
Oh,
let's get into some non-ordinary reality fast.
Yeah, let's do
I feel
that.
Like Alistair Cook here. Remember Alistair Cook?
Being attacked by ducks?
Masterpiece Theater.
How about the guy?
I'm moving out of range there. I just noticed.
The guy at the beginning of The Great Lebowski.
Like, yeah, there you go. Same thing.
So. Figured out he was live doing it.
Or the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Remember? To just see
it.
The narrator.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. He sits there in a chair like this while he's leather.
Where did we leave off?
I have Newt.
I have Newt. More I have Newt.
Maybe it's because you never got to what comes after I have Newt.
Yeah, maybe.
There.
Yeah,
so
we make
stuck. Stuck.
Uh oh, we're stuck, and I have Newt. Oh God, it's in a Bernabardo. I mean, what? Unless you're like Buddha Boy, and it turned out that he just didn't last all that long. You know, I mean, what was so cool about the Buddha Boy was that he wasn't eating, he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't defecating, he wasn't urinating, he wasn't speaking. God knows if he was even fucking breathing. And so it looked like you had this, human being that had transcended the
physical realm.
The demands of the physical realm. Yeah. And we were like, whoa.
Was this well documented?
What did he get caught
doing? I don't know
a bunch of people or something?
I don't know. Who knows? He got caught doing something. I mean, he obviously didn't remain in his, you know, lofty condition of, you know, transcending the demands of his physicality. I mean, all the enlightened people that one has the privilege of listening to or reading their books or going on their retreats and getting an autograph, you know, or whatever it is. They're eating, they're shitting. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are fucking. Most of them, if they can. You know.
Just human.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yep.
So,
yeah, but they're having enlightened sex.
But they're having, yeah, enlightened tantric sex. Right. They can sustain orgiastic, you know, flow for like... Yeah, that's great. All night
great.
Long.
Just,
all night
either
long.
That or, yeah, they're having some kind of weird outer body experience.
Yeah, they're sitting there like this, you know.
So you're in, you know, let's say you're in two basic conditions only. You're either alone or you're with people. You know, And throughout the day, you're one or the other. I mean, even if you're driving in your car to work, you know, you're alone, but you're, right? You're in the flow of the great traffic pattern. Yeah. You know, you're in the great great meditation hall of everyone flipping, you know, riding up 202 to go to their various pharmaceutical parking lot. Right? Yeah. And even if you were, you know, seriously, if not sincerely enlightened, whatever that means, you'd either be alone or you'd be with people.
Sometimes you could be alone while with
people. You could be alone while with people.
Sometimes you could be not alone
when you're alone.
Not with people.
Yeah. Yeah. Any combination. So it's like, oh, well, what do I want from, what do I want from all this? What do I want? I mean, you know, the end of insecurity, right? A golden age of progressive, inclusive values.
Money, drugs, and cigars.
Money, drugs, cigars, sex with an enlightened person.
Nice rye whiskey.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. You know. You know, you sodomize Adyashanti, then he gives you a check. That'd be a twist. Well, we can create, you know, rather elaborate stories and fields and scenarios in imagination about why this is just not as good as it could or should be, who's responsible for it not being as good as it could or should be, and what I'm going to do about it. And this is happening, you know, as a form of, right, as a form of mental illness, while we're either with people or alone.
I think it's like because the storyline is obviously like whatever the storyline is that you're like engaged in. It's like you, obviously like something's not right. Like you just know you're like something's not right. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just not right.
Yeah.
Because it's not under that storyline. It's like, I'm sorry, what's going on?
Yeah.
There's two stars. You know, I mean, it's like really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is wrong. Everything is perfect. Everything is everything, and I don't really know what to think about any of it from moment to moment, and everything that I do think about it just doesn't seem to be all that satisfying. And I remain, you know, in this loop of cosmic anticipation, cosmic dissatisfaction, and cosmic cleverness, so I can outwit, you know, suffering on all fronts.
Well, this kind of
strips away the anticipation. It sort of strips away that particular article of clothing that says you can get something in the future.
Yeah.
This starts to strip that away, and then you're just kind of left with the dissatisfaction.
Really. Could, yeah, you're right. Any weird geometry of being unhinged can occur as you know, start down a certain path of looking a little more deeply at the nature of experience than we typically do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like we're stalling, you know, call it present intelligence. We're not nearly as interested in present intelligence through this stalling mechanism as we are in the hope of a future resolution. The future amelioration.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's like that's the go-to place. That's the quick fix. And it's not real. Like, it's so much less real than, like, what's right here, and yet that seems to be what we go to. Anything but right here.
Yeah, yes. It's
you just like to imagine yourself in different places, in alternate realities, in other venues.
Yes.
And that is your intimacy disorder.
That's your intimacy disorder, yeah.
That's all I do all day long.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest thing. I'm like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
Like, I'll just keep in re-envisioning myself in like other people's lives and other scenarios and other, like just in weird.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What?
Yeah. You're writing the novel of yourself that'll never get published.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I drive around where I live. I'm always looking at other houses thinking, oh, yeah, I'll take that one.
Oh, yeah. This is how I would decorate it. Yeah. Okay. I don't care either.
Intimacy is novelty. Intimacy is novelty, is bliss, is, just to be clever about it, you know, liberated understanding. And that liberated understanding, well, let's say it plays by a set of rules, if any, that is not afflicted by human conformist reality. So your, you know, capacity, not just capacity, but your identity as, you know, transcendent intelligence, well, you know, it erases the myth of the world. That's what novelty, intimacy, bliss, and transcendent intelligence is.
Thank God, then you don't have to spend all day petitioning your congressman for change.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't mean you won't call your senator and say, what, Sessions, are you insane? Save us, motherfucker. Click. Yeah. I mean, to, you know, to deny the rich texture of life and the political milieu, the social milieu, the environmental milieu, the global warming milieu, the Anthropocene, you know, the hegemony of the corporatocracy, you know, troops gathering at Poland's borders with, you know, the USSR, and I mean, to just deny the marvelous tapestry, you know, of humans on Earth for the sake of the, you know, imagination of some kind of an enlightenment that will provide you with a miraculous invulnerability, it always just seems a little suspicious to me. You know, not that it's not true or true or true or not true, or, but it's like, if you can't use the chaotic catastrophe of the myth of the world as a, you know, meaningful vehicle to ride, you know, into your enlightened sunset, then I think you're, you know, you might be missing something.
You don't deny it. You just bend over and kiss your ass goodbye and realize this is a screwed up world we live in.
Yeah, sure.
Do I don't, what you can do with what's right in front of you.
I guess. I don't. Yeah, I don't know what conclusion to draw from anything. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, why am I the way that I am as concerns anything that I relate to in the way that I relate to it? I mean, I've got, you know, 24 hours in a day like the next guy or gal. I could jump on a bus, you know, or wander through a hospital and hold hands, or drown myself in the lake, or steal a car, or, you know, smoke pot to the point of just being consumed by pizza crust all over my house. I could do all kinds of constructive things. That one actually sounds pretty good. But I do what I do according to what it is that I'm, you know, like doing. I'm a totally useless human being. You know, shit, I got nothing.
It just feels so automatic. You know, I get this real distinct impression that I don't have any say, whatever I is.
Yeah.
has no say. It's just happening, you know.
It's just happening.
And I'm like thinking and construing and doing all this stuff. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
You're just imagining yourself in
a
different.
You're Naho.
You know, when I get up and do something, that's just happening. I mean, you may, you know, if you had enough input, maybe you could predict it. But I mean,
it's scary how
it's
just
not
happening.
Going
it is.
Along the lines of what my mind is saying. It's
no,
like I'm doing it before I realize, and then it's just like we talk about. You know, mind's catching up and making the story about it, and.
Yeah.
It's absolutely untrue.
I mean, how can you actually drive to the Applebee's? It just happens.
And the mind is just a poor, you know, one of the many, many things that comes out of, you know, certain things that just happen for...
Mind is a many splendor thing. Not that far, yeah. Don't encourage it.
Yeah, that's right. Don't encourage it. It's like, I didn't think about it. Yeah, I did. Dark chocolate almond. Dark chocolate coconut.
Well, it could be... you know, useful on the path of, I'll call it, you know, ego destruction, which of course is kind of silly and not all that necessary. It just seems to happen that way. But, you know, on the great dharmic path of ego destruction, to really get a glimpse, you know, a firsthand glimpse of just how improvisational everything is, including everything that appears in your consciousness that justifies why you do the next thing. Or either, you know, tells you, whispers in your ear, encourages you, creates a scenario that, oh, yeah, maybe oatmeal this morning. You know, nah, I'm gonna try some of that pancake mix we got for Christmas. Yeah, no, that'll be much better. Right? And then when you go into the kitchen, you end up making oatmeal, and you're like, wait a second, I was going to do the, what? You know. So we're wandering, you know, through this curious non-temporal and non-spatial labyrinth of imagination as what we call the so-called body is doing what it's doing in the territory that the body, you know, dwells in. And all of these territories, whether it be the physical or the psychological or the emotional or the spiritual or the this or the that, it's like you wonder, they're not really even talking to each other. So we're appearing in multiple strata of interactivity without having any real control over any of it at all, and yet finding... sufficient evidence for impulse and decision and priority and choice and usefulness, utility, homeostasis, optimizing a mind state, what to do with my free time. Really all completely all by itself. Within a groove that you call you.
It's pretty familiar.
Really familiar, yeah. And then we become, we become bereft or frustrated or antagonized or insecure, because the realm of the creature can easily suffer these kinds of existential afflictions. Well, then we go back into the loop of remediation. Whether it's some kind of attention seeking or novelty or mixing it up or getting involved with a group of some kind or, you know, checking out with free cell, alcohol, marijuana, more free cell. I'm not passing any judgment on how anybody gets through a fucking life. I mean, who the fuck am I to comment on how someone else figures out how to get through the strain and stress and the miraculous display of a life? living with whatever degree of privilege you're living with, white privilege, male privilege, gender privilege, you know, supremacy, money, come and go, trust fund kid, hardworking, you know, factory worker, right? Loving family, raising autistic twins. Thank you, Merck. You know, what? Choosing so-called not to call your mother because she's just abusive.
Just your mother. She needs to say more.
Yeah, really? You know, what? I never really liked you, but I would like to call once in a while, but now I'm not because you're just so abusive. I, you know, what can I do? Hire a surrogate. Oh. Something has to, something rather disturbing has to shake us out of the tree of, you know, repetition, right? Because otherwise we remain maybe somewhat disgruntled, but we remain within the entrainment of the repetition of the habits that we use to get through the day and get through the life in the way that we do. No crime. Yeah. You're like, wow, I'm so me. It's driving me fucking crazy. Yeah.
Same old tricks.
Yeah. Same old stories, same old justification, same old regrets, right? Same old fear of being discovered. Yeah. And in the midst of all this, you know, we will fancifully create, well, all kinds of complementary or non-complementary cosmologies that we can align with that will tell us why we are the way we are, why things are the way they are, and what we can and or should do about it. So I'm going to eat differently, and I'm going to yoga differently, and I'm going to meditate more frequently, and I'm going to get rid of this toxic relationship, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to see if, you know, maybe so-and-so finds me even remotely attractive, and, you know.
Try this drug, try that drug.
I'll try this drug, then I'll try that one. Yeah.
Early duty.
See you guys.
Hey guys.
See ya, Dave.
The places you'll go.
Oh, the places you'll go.
Dr. Seuss book.
Are you reading the book?
I am. Oh. Cool. It's 2 days.
Today I feel silly. There's another one.
If you give a pig a pancake.
Input.
It's as good as anything Ramana Maharshi said. If you give a pig a pancake, I'm free.
I get it.
I get it. I see it.
What are we doing here?
Well, you're either with people or you're alone.
True.
Right now you're, you know, apparently with people.
There's like 3 varieties of existing. Standing, sitting, laying down.
Okay.
That it.
Yep.
How about standing on your hands? What do you call that?
It doesn't last long. Especially depending on who you are.
You could be, you know, an accomplished Shaolin stand on your index finger.
You could eye fly in King of Prussia.
Eye fly?
Eye fly. You go flying.
Oh, yeah. You put on a little suit and you get in the wind tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in King of Prussia?
Mm-hmm. You just built it. It's not that, been there
enough. Oh, boy. That would have been fun. I'm not going to do it now.
You could go to Hamburg, you know, to the Cabela's outlet, buy some fishing gear.
Is that it?
There's a nice diner off of Route 78 up there, you know. Get a tuna hoagie.
You were
going
to try to equal this flying, I fly.
Tuna hoagie and see if you can catch yourself some trout or something.
Yeah.
So I just looked at the trout and threw it back, and then I ate the tuna hoagie.
Yeah.
This world has just an amazing life.
It does, yeah.
No lack. So back to what the hell we're doing here. What are
we doing? Can't say.
It's just freelance coming here. It's like, fuck her, I'm coming here. Then it got canceled anyway. It's fine.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm not doing anything, and this is attractive.
I think planned doing nothing is fine. It's only when I have things that I have to do, and then I get into doing nothing, that I get into trouble.
What would happen if you just didn't care about getting into trouble or not? Just only did exactly what you wanted.
I would sink into total addiction mode.
Really?
Yeah.
What would be your
I don't think anything changes, though, because I think I'm in addiction mode in with total disregard to anything, and it's still the same.
I'm still the same, yeah. Yeah.
Everything is still the same.
I'm sunk all the way down.
No, it's the opposite of that because I'm not paying any attention really. That, like,
well, then that's way different than what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Maybe if I wasn't anxious, you know. But I still got this guilt.
Well, that's where the weed comes in, which is the addiction.
Well, okay. Yeah,
you have to use a little marijuana to try to, you know,
take
the edge off the guilt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you
I mean, really, that's
truly,
what it is. Just
truly
taking the
demotivated.
Edge off the guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, take the edge off the guilt.
That's right.
Take the edge off the puritanism. Mm-hmm.
Or the whatever the feeling is that you should be doing something else.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Whatever.
At least not getting away with it.
Yeah, to medicate the voices of shame.
Yep.
And just go straight to shit.
Why? That's a great name for a book.
Hey, if that works.
I know.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, sure.
That's like Peter's advice, like go straight to whatever the fuck works.
Go straight
because
to it.
If that becomes more important than your muggle life, then you're like, okay,
yes.
Well, might as well take the fastest route there, and whatever happens to my muggle life is like...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
That's right. Well, that's kind of fun. Yeah, let the grip that one holds, the psychic grip that one holds on the muggle life just go to shit.
It's kind of funny because the muggle life doesn't go to shit when you do that.
Not necessarily.
The muggle life carries on.
Yeah, of course.
I can't really quite manage to not do my job.
Yeah, right.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Have you set out to not do your job?
I spent a couple of years not doing my job. Now it just seems to be getting done and I'm doing pretty well.
So you tested the limits to see what you could get away with?
They wouldn't give me anything. I didn't have anything to do. So I meditated and I slept and I fucked around.
Jeez, what a job.
Now I'm really busy.
It's like a hell realm.
I kind of like it.
Oh, yeah, to be more like busy and constructive is more fun.
Sure. Yeah, it is more fun. I'm
oh, yeah,
with people.
Definitely.
I got shit going on, go to bed. Virginia next week, but I don't experience it like I used to. It's different.
Well, you know, when our good friend was it Buck, right, the horse whisperer guy?
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
You know, when he was, when he and his brother were rescued from their serially abusive father. And he went, you know, to live with another rancher. Mm-hmm. It was like the happiest day in his life that the rancher gave him, you know, some really nice gloves and took him out repairing fences. Mm-hmm. And that he was useful, right? That he was given something to do, to be useful, was you know, cathartic.
There's a
in his you know, lifelong healing experience of recovering from, you know, that the abuse that he suffered.
There's a huge segment of the population that's getting kicked the fuck out of corporate America that still has plenty of life left in them and capability, and they're getting tossed out. Nobody wants them.
Yeah.
Of what employment?
Of employment. Yeah. Demographically, that's happening all over the place.
Yes.
The baby boomers are getting tossed out. Not all. It's not, you know, it's a generalization, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not useful anymore. Go retire, whether you want to or not.
Well, that's a great existential dilemma, as well as, of course, a socio-political dilemma. Is that our? We can go into a, you know, kind of a free cell spiral. You know, when confronted with not being useful. And if we're in the, you know, the lifelong role of being a wage earner, which is a certain kind of indentured servitude, right, in exchange for, you know, the coin of the realm, so you can pay your utilities and buy gasoline. It gets freaky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Feeling of being useful is critical to me. I mean, you know, I definitely feel that all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm dependent upon to do something, I'll do it, you know, and I'll make sure it's right and all that jazz.
Yeah.
When I have leeway and nobody's really checking up, it's like,
Know?
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's reflective of a, you know, I would call it, refer to it as a, let's just, you know, deeper revealing tones of consciousness that peek through to show us how dependent, you know, we have become, right, under the umbrella of conformist reality to have, you know, existential utility, to be useful. And what
I thought about that a lot for retirement too.
Absolutely.
Know? It's like, I want to be sitting around. I have plenty of projects to do. It seems like I'm never done with projects. But, you know, I get sick and tired of that too. You know, I mean, I need to be out and social and feel like I'm doing something, accomplishing something.
There's just a, you know, a ton of retiree breakfasts all over the place. You know, where you can talk about politics and sip coffee and nostalgia, you know. World War II and Korean War and everything.
Vietnam.
That's right.
Dave's living large with that crew. They're not all retired. Some of the old guys go out to breakfast and then go to work.
Yeah, they go to work, sure.
They're still working, but he's part of the crew.
Yeah, so, you know, the need for social intercourse, just for health, boundaries, usefulness, right? Feedback, right? Consciousness, feedback. Whew, really important to us.
And just feeling useful. I mean, because, I mean, some of those, you know, I mean, of course, that satisfies the social thing, but the usefulness thing, that's an important thing to. I mean, I was looking at, somehow I ran into this list of all kinds of volunteer associations.
Yes.
I went down the list and it's like, damn, I don't want to volunteer for any of these things.
Yeah, really, I don't want to belong to any of these. Sure.
But I love the idea of doing something that feels useful, and, you know, volunteering sounds like a great idea. but I just haven't found it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. What you'd like to be involved in.
And usually it seems like what happens just happens spontaneously. You know, you plan and, you know, then bang, you know, maybe something happens. Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is a good example. I mean, I was looking at for years for different things. You know, I started with, I don't know where I started. I mean, started, you know, but just to pick it up, you know. Well, Edgar Casey, I was going to say Edgar Casey, that was years ago.
Yeah.
All kinds of different things, you know.
Yes.
And then I end up here.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
The black hole of
the black
spiritual
hole.
Endeavors.
And I haven't, you know, I haven't really ventured really. That any further.
Yeah.
Every once in a great while, I meet up with that, my old friend from the ACIM, you know, Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, we're usually talking about this.
Good move.
But, so, you know, you never know where it's going to end up, is the point. And you just, I feel like there's this sort of a, I don't want to call it divine, but there is this just natural inclination to rest at something that suddenly opens up to you and becomes available. And you can't really expect to know what that's going to be. You just have to be open to it, I think.
Well, perhaps it's stranger than anything that you can, you know, engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's always, you know, the kind of perennial question or invitation, which is how does anyone occupy present experience? What's the nature of our relationship with living? It's pretty simple. What's the nature of one's relationship with living? What's the story? What's the context? What kind of superstructures of imagination have we created to satisfy these conscious or semi-conscious right needs for affiliation and stimulus and utility and spiritual succor and runner's high and right, whatever it is that we feel is valuable for us to cultivate in a life. It's relatively few people, just to take a risk, that are interested in what could be referred to as, you know, depthful conversational inquiry, using a vehicle of social togetherness, conversational stimulation.
Hell, half the time we're not interested. We like take right turns all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, even when we're
don't even stay on topic.
That's right.
We get together.
Even when we're here to so-called, you know, do that voluntarily, we're happy to, you know, get.
But it's
diverted.
Such a relief not to have a framework that we that we have to go to. You know.
Oh God, I know.
I mean, geez.
I hate. I've always hated them all. Yeah. The pressure of you know, a cosmology or a contemplative practice framework, right? that dumbs everybody down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're much better off if you're free to roam, free to free associate, free to be your, you know, ebullient self. And still, you know, stay, well, what would you say, on track, so to speak, as concerns, you know, a more depthful curiosity or intimacy. Yeah. I mean, clacking pieces of wood together and walking around the fucking hall and doing the whatever that sutra is. Gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhi swaha. Right?
Bodhi swaha.
Yeah. Chanting in monotone.
I just remember George Harrison's wife, I forget her name, the model, you know, not the one who ran off with Eric Clapton, saying, geez, oh, bees, you know, this constant chanting the name of gods, I mean, that gets tired after a while. You get, you know, because he would do that. Like, he would just be.
Oh, yeah.
Just.
He would do
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Krishna.
No, George.
Georgie.
Georgie Harrison. Georgie.
Georgie.
And she's like, enough already.
Yeah, we just shut up with the Hare Krishna shit.
Yeah, right.
Put on some Jethro Tull. Jesus Christ, George.
Get over it.
Yeah. It's more relaxing to play freestyle, I think, than to do too much Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Who are you praying to? What are you praying to?
The God of freestyle. The God of chance. Although, you know, playing it on the computer is bogus. It's always, you know, there's some engineering behind it to put the odds a little more in your favor. I win way, way, way more than I should. There's just no way.
Oh, you're just good at it.
No. Well, I might be okay with it, but I'm not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know because I have a computer, my laptop, and then in the bedroom I have a little Android device. And I play on the Android device. I lose a lot. On the computer, I win most of them.
Wow.
Maybe you're just not so smart in the bedroom.
Maybe you're just distracted, yeah, in the bedroom.
Yeah, that's it. I'm distracted.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
There's just no slack in this group.
Yeah, if you say something.
Yeah, you gotta own it.
And it's gonna... Gonna get you like a barracuda. Well, you could say, you know, just for fun, that the most sublime enjoyment accompanies the, you know, collapse of individuation. The most sublime enjoyment accompanies the collapse.
The most
slimy enjoyment.
Slimy enjoyment.
Comes from watching Grey's Anatomy, in reruns.
This morning, it was an incredible morning. I just love, you know, the some kind of like weather scenes. This morning, I was going over the river up in Stockton, you know.
Yes.
And, oh, my goodness. First of all, coming down that hill, which I've talked about numerous times, it's just gorgeous. Any time of year, it's just beautiful. And you see the mist through the trees and the different lighter trees and stuff like that that come through it. But then you get down to the river, and there was this mist, but it was this sort of roiling mist over the water. And you couldn't even see the shore of where the trees hit because you see this mist that was totally ethereal, and I was like, I can only look at it for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Like the moon tonight.
The moon's coming down. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, how can it be that the moon is no bigger there than it is, I mean, you know, no bigger there than it is there. You know what I mean? They're supposedly the same size.
Really?
Yeah, it's very hard for me to believe that. But I don't know. That's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, if you put a hole in a piece of paper and hold it up,
yeah,
there it is on the horizon, and there it is up there.
It's the same. It's the same.
Really?
Yeah.
The horizon sometimes it looks freaking huge.
I know.
Compared to up top.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the same thing about the moon coming here. Yeah.
The moon and the mist.
The moon and the mist. Jeez, I love stuff like that.
You think? Well, that's it, right? In these moments of absorption, when you're not processing the event through the myth of self,
right, yeah.
The absorption is the truth. It is right, non-dual. It is liberated. It has a depth of, you know, beyond sufficiency. And that craving, you know, which arises organically, the craving for spiritual succor, let's say, right? Whatever metaphor you want to throw at it.
Yeah.
Is ignited, right, and inspired by those moments.
Well, it's you know, one of the few things I felt like I could do was in photography that I could do well is to just basically copy what I see to some extent. And it's funny because, you know, you get to a point, especially in the last 10 years with everybody having phones and all that and the increasing sophistication and the instant, like, make it, you know, really either ultra realistic or ultra you know, romantic or whatever, you know, you blur it a little bit. I mean, boom, you do it like that.
Yes.
And, you know, I learned the hard way on how to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
the dark room.
I was listening to WTF, you know, Mark Maron. Yeah. His show, WTF, is a great podcast. He just talks to a person for like more than an hour, like an hour and a half to an hour and a half. Uh-huh. I mean, he gets into their whole life, and it's like, whew, it's deep. But if you're going on a trip, mm-hmm. it's pretty good. So he was talking to Ron Perlman, right?
The actor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was sort of saying, enacting what I was thinking about, like what I thought about for photography. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's a gajillion actors that have done just amazing jobs that, you know, you'll never compete with, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do the best job you can do now. I mean, because you're reaching a new audience and all that jazz, you know.
Yeah.
It's just nice to hear something that sort of reinforces, you know, little ideas that you've had like that.
Yes, it is. It's good to be reinforced.
It is.
Still a loser.
Back to the... That's why I keep coming.
Yeah. You'll get it. Yeah.
I'm just not sure if I'm more interested in being reinforced or being a loser. I vacillate.
At least we don't have baseball bats here.
Yeah, so what is it that we are doing or do? You know, who knows really, but you could try your hand at articulating some kind of justification, right, for getting out of the house and being social in a curious way.
You don't have to justify it. Just sounds good, you do it.
Yeah.
Kind of like sounds good to eat something, you eat it.
Yeah.
No justification needed.
Yeah. No, there's a discovery vector that's lit inside your soul, right? The karmic gates, the karmic binary gates of, right, what interests you.
Those things that used to be pursued just to hold up me as somebody,
mm-hmm.
not particularly interesting anymore. And I can circle back around and try to fire them back up, but they don't really stick. They don't do much.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be like a fabulous drummer. It's just not me. And I'm not going to like it, just picking it back up doesn't. I can see pretty clearly it was just so I could be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening. Too much work. I had to try it at least one more time. Good luck.
So, you know, the mist over the river or the moon hanging in a certain way in the sky. You could say they trigger a certain kind of, beauty. And one, you could say, aspect of that beauty is that it's not comprehensible. What makes it beauty is that it can't be imprisoned. That it can't be captured or defined. Yeah. So beauty is also pure novelty. Novelty is the emptiness of self.
Yeah.
And when you in your so-called life, whether alone or with other people, are fond of an interactive discovery of beauty, of novelty, of autonomy. Yeah, then you'll be rewarded, let's say, right? You'll be rewarded with call it sufficient visitations that you become informed by this beauty and this novelty. And there's a shifting, an unfolding, a word that's frequently used, that you're no longer in a dependency relationship with novelty, with beauty, with absentia of self. You see that it's... Oh my goodness, it's exactly this. The mist over the river is, it's a great, wonderful demonstration of the power of the Creator to, attract your attention, right? To gift you with something that just cannot be denied,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but for the seeker that won't quit, right? What's the demand? What's the deep supplication that's occurring? Well, it's to immerse in that beauty, you know, as what? As self, consciousness itself. Radiant nature of being is that novelty, is that beauty, and it's no longer dependent on a God-gifted display to be right felt. So the effusive and effervescent nature of experience is that.
And this. And as plain Jane as the wall across from your toilet in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yes, and...
Same thing.
Yes, and, you know, no longer... is either obscured or benefited by any kind of, you know, description or conclusion, comparison at all. The operators of mind that are standing by, right, the phone bank goes silent.
Send everybody home, just like Trump's doing right now, but you don't reinvite anyone in. Clear the house.
Send everybody home.
Send everybody home.
Changing my invitation.
Yeah. I'm going to
fix it.
Don't ask me why. We won't.
Don't worry, we don't care what you're doing at all.
It's that coyote energy.
The full moon.
Yeah.
Oh. Some of what, I was going to say, kind of like lights the way as you move through this in a different way, is the relief that shows up when there's less of you there as compared to the suffering that shows up when you're, you know, fully there.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody can blow you off or insult you or whatever, and it just doesn't land if there's not much of you there. And it can really be painful if you're carrying a whole lot of who I should be, who I want other people to see me as. It's just different.
Being in a dependency relationship with consciousness means that the superficiality or the patina of your reputation can be easily injured.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's not so heavy if you just, like Francine put it, you just lose her.
Yep.
You're fired. What was Trump's like thing? I never saw it really.
You're
watched.
Fired? Yeah.
Is that what you said?
You're fired.
Thing. Yeah. Right.
Just like that. Wasn't it more dramatic or something?
It was. You're fired.
You're fired. There. You go.
It wasn't just your fired. You're fired.
You're all fired. Thank you. See, that's his specific way.
Very.
Very specific.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting to use a meme like that, right? The "you're fired" meme, right? Which is, you know, the great autocratic insult. Yeah.
If you do this and just look through your hands, it's like the center. That's the whole world. It's like that's all there is. You take it right down to a tunnel. It's just this whole deal.
To miasma. Is that a real word?
Miasma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he used it one of his last things. I'm like, what's a miasma?
Yeah, I know. What is that?
What is that?
Beats me.
Beats me. I'm probably in one right now, but
yeah, I could be in one. I don't
know. Different than me, arthritis.
Yeah.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
No, I could come up with some corny puns.
Dave lives on. Oh, jeez. Sounds a bit frenzy.
Who's my friend? I think when we get together like this, there's a lightness about it because it's not a group that gets together to prop up who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of the reasons we're kind of drawn to each other. It's just not so heavy. It's not like I'm coming at you with my stamp on your forehead for mm-hmm. you to see me a certain way.
Or yeah.
It's the opposite of that. And it's attractive. Clearly not to that many people. Yeah. To this warped friggin' group it is.
Well, it's not unlike, you know, who's that lovely gal that does those cuddle parties?
Oh, God. Edie Moser.
Edie. Yeah, this is a cuddle party, but you know it's like, don't fucking touch me.
It's a gentle cuddle party.
Yeah.
No touching.
It's a cuddle party for
maybe you get a hug if you're lucky on the way out.
You know,
maybe.
Kind of like intimacy disordered people like us. Like it's okay to talk about things and feel a certain way and kind of get into that cuddle vibe, but.
You're still going to be called a loser.
Don't fucking touch me.
Don't
give me any fucking advice about anything. And keep your fucking guides and your mediums to yourself. And but still, we can get into that cuddle vibe real nice.
I am, like, it has fine-tuned my sense of just people that want to use other people for their agendas. And I... frequently in my life, I have been one of those people, but
yeah.
I just have no stomach for it whatsoever today.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, healing from the codependency that we are invited into in the, right, mercantilism of the culture, mm-hmm. healing from that codependency is rare, takes a while, you know, there's a lot of... you could call it, you know, certain kind of, you know, purification and reflection that occurs as you are invited to dwell in your own autonomous nature. And you become more sensitive to, you know, people manipulating, imposing, playing the passive aggressive game, attention seeking, and all these things that the, you know, the creature in panic will do. So, yeah, as you become relieved of the you know, the creature in panic default.
People try to fuck with me. I just channel Francine now.
That's, yeah, channel whoever you have to, you know, take a big nipple out of their finger.
That's good to know. I wish I could be there. Can I somehow be there while you're channeling me?
Yeah. Tell the Francine here.
Ignore them long enough, they'll go away.
Of you.
Yeah.
I do as much or even more, call it, you know, entrainment, deliberate, you know, entrainment as, you know, anyone. But you could say there's a certain kind of, you know, shamanic, let's call it a responsibility or a shamanic, you know, the care that you take the risk to be, you know, call it vulnerable, available. You harness the quark energy of attention, right? You harness the quark energy of attention to lay down a quality of, you know, being or reflection that's not intrusive. Mm-hmm. It's challenge
point or something. Yeah. That's what I was like thinking of the other day. It's like a zero, like everything has a 0 point energy state. It has that. Everything.
Yes.
It has to have that inherently. It's an aspect of everything.
Right.
So you can like.
Right.
You're not going to find it imposing. Go look at this on a group of people. You're never going to find it that way.
Yeah.
It's not going to be uncovered through that heavy-handed.
Yeah, it's like a different dimension, but it's completely out in the open. It's not hidden.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of time, like some of you may have, in, you know, bodywork training environments, mm-hmm. right, with all kinds of teachers of varying degrees of, you know, skill, as teachers, as touchers, as healers, as, you know, zero-point, you know, provocateurs. And, you know, they all ultimately fail because of either the underlying mercantilism of being, you know, taught a, you know, healing modality or being certified in a healing modality, becoming a certified practitioner and or teacher, you know, of the healing modality. And the iatrogenic risks of being in a position of authority, right, to render psychiatric, spiritual, healing, somatic services to someone who's already vulnerable, right, by virtue of, you know, one or a thousand forms of suffering.
Bad. Diet, drugs.
Yeah. So then this is, I mean, it's really kind of a lovely, you know, challenge. Or let's say polishing of self, right? Polishing of one's own agenda, hidden or otherwise, to work with agreement and trust at a 0 point kind of level of entraining and soliciting attention in a certain way and without laying, right, without doing your best not to lay some kind of a trip on somebody else's dignity. It's kind of rare, I think.
Well, you've set the stage for like what you point to demands that kind of approach, or you'd be a freaking fraud.
Yeah, I am anyway. What else? What choice do I have? But yeah. You know, like wanting nothing from, having nothing to give, really just like, fuck if I know, and if this is anything at all, well, it's yours.
It's an unusual model. Exceptional. And most people can't even see it.
Well, they don't get to that point. They just can't get that far along to see it, you know. They just react to the
We're safer in,
what do you call it?
We tend to be or imagine that we're safer in reactionary environments where we're either attention seeking or being avoidant with the passive aggressive agreement of everybody else who's doing it. And sometimes we go to those very kinds of meetings and groups and situations where we can get away with being passive aggressive and or attention seeking and or avoidant and call that a good meeting. Right? Yeah. You know, humans are humans.
Well, most of
we're weird.
About delivering up a supposed content.
Yeah.
You're all about pointing out there is no content.
Yeah.
And it's just a fully different paradigm.
If the species is going to get off the planet, I'm not certain that we will, but it's going to take a quality of consciousness that is just so bright beyond what we're seeing, right, in the present socio-political milieu. Right, the regressive, antagonistic, violent, exploitive, coercive, right, accumulating energy of the 0.1%, whether it's the bankers, the pharmaceutical, the oil, you know, political, right, sycophants, that nobody's getting off the planet with that shit. Nobody's going anywhere.
We talk shit about someone all day long. That's all anybody's doing.
The underlying, gift of the consciousness that is quantum entangled to the right entire plenum of the universe at large is not going anywhere if it continues to behave and frame itself with such adversarial vehemence. Adversarial poison. Ouch.
The exploitation definitely seems to just, it's insane. They're like, oh, the ice is melting and, you know, whatever. Guess what? Oil under there. Who's going to get it? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're just like, dude, come on.
Thank God the glaciers are out of the way. Drill, baby, drill.
Really?
And the polar bear going, could I get a break here? Even a little break?
No, we're like, exploit.
Down with polar bears.
All three countries are like lined up, you know. Who's going to get it?
Oh, God. So this, you know, this Achilles heel of, you know, human consciousness, conformist reality, separation and, you know, interpreting the, you know, brilliance of, to use, what's his name's word, supramental. Who was that guy in Pondicherry? Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo.
Sri
Aurobindo. He had it going on.
Is that why he had two Shris?
Yeah, he had, was double Sri.
Double
Sri Aurobindo. I was sitting by his... I sat by his resting place. He's encased. I'm not sure if they burned him or they kept him, you know, whole. The Indians, the Hindus, will sometimes keep a holy person encased in salt without going to the burning god.
Cryogenically frozen.
Yeah. The salt dehydrates all the fluids out of the body, so they remain kind of a leathered mummy for the future to discover. Because there was a certain amount of wealth had been accumulated at the Aurobindo ashram, he's encased in just the most beautiful marble above ground, you know, sepulcher. This is years ago, of course. I don't know what the fuck's. I mean, for now, it could be covered with monkeys and, you know, jungle roots by now. I have no idea, but. And they would adorn this plaza with flowers and flowers and flowers and flowers. You couldn't comprehend the spectacle of the flowers and the aroma and the colors, and it was like, wow. So I, you know, would go while I was visiting, you know, there for my allotted time, you know, go visit the place of the Mahasamadhi with all the flowers and do my obligatory meditation, right? And had this most fun out-of-body experience by Aurobindo's grave. It was really cool. You know, it was like, I was like, I'm not in my body. I'm not fucking in my body. It was great. Yeah. Just like up, you know, and you, yeah, up. I mean, that was just so interesting that the locus of your attention, right? The locus of the concentration and the vitality of you is not in the boundary field, the familiar boundary field of your physical body.
Yeah.
You're just out.
Yeah. And you're like, even when she was like out. Standing, sitting, and whatever, the only three options, I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
You can experience all three of those.
Yeah.
Very different ways.
How am I existent,
them
right?
In different ways.
How am I existent and not within the familiar boundary field of the body? That was just like, oh, this is fucking right on. It's great. I had a few of those, you know. Mm-hmm. They come and go.
I know, and they're so like, what? They're so like.
But this is, you know, this is kind of the thrill of the great heartbreak and thrill of the yogi's dilemma, right? To sip from a fountain of, you know, sacred surrender. Not prideful, right? Not demonstrative, not trumpeting, but just to sip from the fountain of a sacred surrender that just wipes all of your guile absolutely clean. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, has somehow touched you one or several times over the course of a lifetime. And it has oriented you to, you know, a way of being, right? You can't deny it. You know, that you're just oriented to a certain way of being, and then to have to suffer the malignant heartbreak, right, of the conformist reality being so repugnantly, selfishly, unconsciously exploitive. And to see that concentrated in the hands of, you know, autocrats throughout the right world. We were lulled into a certain kind of sleep, you know, under the somewhat mamby-pamby lullaby style of Obama, who was no really less criminal and exploitive than anyone that's been in the office before.
Well, he expanded on a lot of the things.
And
he just
indeed,
did it quietly.
He expanded on them in a kind of a quiet way.
I think he's just very intelligent, and there aren't a lot of intelligent presidents.
Yeah, that's right.
He wields
a certain sophistication.
Not necessarily good.
Right. And so we were lulled to sleep, or into a certain kind of steady as she goes, right?
He's a wizard.
And somehow there was a rejection of, you know, the treacherous Hillary Clinton to replace him as another version of steady as she goes. Right? So there was an upwelling of a certain kind of impatience or irritability or outright theft and manipulation of the, you know, so-called voting process to place, you know, the current demon idiot in power. And so everyone is suffering in a way, right?
I think you have to be. Like, I turned on the thing and just listened to him the other night, and I swear to God, I was in a, like, paralysis. Like, I looked at myself, and I was like, it was like an out-of-body paralysis. I was listening to him, and there was a cringing on my entire body. Like, I was, like, really high, and I'm like...
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
I know.
Like, I couldn't stop it. It just kept growing.
And yes.
Weird energy. I'm like, I think we have to turn this off now.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, you know, yeah, watch the entire thing just out of even curiosity. It was like,
yes,
energetically, I was like curling.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Going into tetany, listening to it.
Maybe that's what was happening to him, too,
yeah,
that he wasn't actually making fun of somebody. He's like, no, this my energy does this to me, too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I
think so.
Has him internally.
Hmm. Well, you know, we can numb out, which is, of course, you know, cool. No harm. Or, you know, we can respond with, let's call it more shamanic creativity. I mean, for me, you know, having these social slumber party, don't fucking touch me, you know, meetings, is a way of, you know, responding. It's a mental health imperative. For me, it is.
Well, yeah.
It's a mental health imperative.
Thank God for Night Sky Song.
To feel a certain way, to convey a certain way, to entrain, invite, participate in an egalitarian fashion in the, you know, the dignity of human consciousness.
Well, there has to be something beyond sitting there in silence without other personas to bounce back and forth. And sitting there with other personas bouncing back and forth, but no respect for who we are at the bottom of it all.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's something in between all that, you know.
Yeah. How are we doing on time? Oh, we have a viewer.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, making the drive.
Thank you.
We'll,
I had the funniest experience on the way here. I was stuck behind a Greyhound bus.
Oh.
That was going like 20 and slamming on the brakes the whole time.
So oh.
It was like just funny because you're like, it's a Greyhound. There's a picture of a really fast dog on the back, you know? Like,
yeah.
We'll
this person has never driven before or something. So.
Give a pig a pancake.
It was funny. It's like, well, this is not what you would expect from a Greyhound.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again real soon.